Hello and welcome to the third episode of the Future Proof Careers Podcast, brought to you by the leading providers of IT apprenticeships across the UK, QA. Future Proof Careers is the podcast for those just starting out in the world of work, helping to provide you, the listener, with the right information for a future-proofed career. In the last episode, we spoke with Daniel Farrer from Visa on how best to prepare for an interview. You can still listen to episodes 1 and 2 by subscribing to the Future Proof Careers podcast on Audioboom, iTunes and Spotify. As always, I'm Luke Roberts, your podcast guide, and in this week's episode, we'll be talking all things mental health. Now, the level of mental health awareness in the UK has gone up tenfold, so this episode is dedicated to any young people that are struggling with their own mental health, or that know somebody that is, or just want to find out a bit more. Especially in light of a recent study from the City Mental Health Alliance, which showed that one in two students surveyed admitted that their mental well-being declined after leaving university. Now, I am so excited to be joined in the studio by executive psychotherapist, coach and trainer, Caroline Ribeiro-Nelson, and also Vanessa Copeland, who's part of our QA alumni. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Great. Hi, Luke. Thanks for inviting us. Great to be here.
Oh, thanks for coming. Look, I'm so excited and a bit scared because I've got two strong, independent women in the studio. Who needs boys, right? Okay. In recent years, we'd seen a huge increase in the awareness of mental health problems and some really high-profile campaigns and TV specials, as well as some big names openly speaking about the topic. Okay, ladies, these questions are for both of you. Is there a mental health role model that you look up to?
Actually, Luke, there isn't, to be honest, because for me, mental health is a very personal thing. It's not that I can look to somebody and say, I really wish that my mental health was as good as that person. It's something that you really have to think about for yourself. And so I look to myself about being open, about understanding the things that affect me, and about taking care of myself and being honest with myself and reflecting on the things that affect me emotionally and psychologically.
How about you, Vanessa? Is there anyone you look up to?
I think I sort of agree with Caroline there. There's not a massive, I don't think there's a massive amount of people that you can look up to at the moment. Like, it's only just coming out. People aren't really in that field at the moment or in a big enough space to be able to look at like that. But I do think, just for being like British and Prince William, when he recently did, he spoke about his mental health, losing his mum at a really young age and how that affected him, and the whole idea of the stiff British upper lip. And I think that the fact that he was a royal and he actually came out and said that in a public space kind of reinforced a lot of people's ideas about it's okay to speak about it. So, yeah.
So, Caroline, there was no person in particular, but how about a particular campaign or initiative that resonated with you?
Luke, the campaign that really resonated with me the most is the Time to Change. And that is the UK's biggest mental health campaign organisation. And they are great at promoting the interests of mental health. And they do it on a very wide perspective. So they're diverse in their approach. So it's not just about having mental health first aid or about advertising. They look at education, they look at social networking, they look at working nationally and internationally, they work with communities. They produce loads of training and resources, and they focus on attitude change and behavioural change. So Time to Change is one model that I think is a role model for other campaigns to follow.
So Time to Change, definitely check that out. Vanessa?
I fully, again, agree with Caroline. Time to Change is one that I've seen. I think their social media presence is something that they do really, really well. Only there's probably not enough campaigns at the moment. The only other one I can really think of that sticks to mind was the one that ITV did. It wasn't social, I don't think it was so much social media, but you know when they had the statues on top of the buildings?
Yeah.
And I think that that was really, it was hard hitting, and I think that's why it had so much impact. And there was a lot of, Twitter trending hashtags and stuff after that, so it goes to show that that really worked.
Do you know, this first section is normally so light-hearted and we are so many easy questions, but we just got so deep. But ladies, we're going to the round table discussion. Okay, so why is the topic of mental health important to you, and what topics in relation to mental health would you like to get across today?
Well, Luke, I've been working in the psychological health and wellbeing field for over 25 years, so I am totally passionate and committed to supporting good mental health. And it's an area that really lacks resources, and also it's neglected in the workplace. And so my focus is really about working with organisations in helping them understand mental health awareness and develop their culture so that they're safer and healthier workplaces for people. So that's my passion, and that's the work that I do.
Great. Vanessa, how about you? Why is this important to you?
So personally, I've suffered from like mental health issues since I was about 11. So throughout my life, I've had lots of different counselling and support. I'm kind of coming through at this period in my life where things are starting to get better for people with mental health when they're younger, better than it was for me. Like, it was quite a struggle growing up. But I think there's so much that we don't know about mental health, like Caroline said, that it's really important to keep pushing resources towards it, keep giving advice, keep talking about it. So I think the main thing that I really want to start is getting people feel, making people feel comfortable to talk about it and to have a voice and actually vocalise what they're going through and sort of normalise it in a way.
Absolutely, it's so important. Okay, now I've tailored some questions to each of you specifically, starting with you, Caroline. Mm-hmm. Okay, what are the risks and challenges that young people face nowadays at the beginning of their careers?
Luke, I think one of the most important challenges today for young people is deciding what kind of career path they're going to take, because we're recognising that in the workplace, young people do not take jobs for life anymore. It's not in the past times where people went into a job, they trained for it and they stayed forever. Young people, they want change, they want variety, they want career progression, and they want to learn very quickly. And unfortunately, they're not really getting guidance and navigation in that. And that can be a real challenge for them in planning what they want to do in their life. So that can be very stressful. They can chop and change, and they can be seen as indecisive or not really committed. But actually, that isn't what it's about for young people. They actually want to try different things out. They want to experience life, and they don't want to commit right at the beginning. So that can be a real challenge about finding how they want to progress in their career and be very focused. And it's really about adjusting to the reality of the workplace as well. Young people perhaps aren't prepared for the reality of what that is. They have certain expectations. They do a degree or a training. They go into the workplace and they think, yeah, I've got it. I know exactly how it's going to be. I'm going to be a star and I'm going to be director within 6 months. And they realise it's not like that. And they have to deal with so many different things.
Now, Vanessa, you mentioned earlier that you have had your own battles with mental health
growing
up. How do you think it's changed for people nowadays?
I think help is a lot more accessible now. I think especially with, changing advances in technology, it's changing all the time. There's more places you can go to find help. It's more of a thing where now if you posted a tweet about how you're feeling mentally, it wouldn't get ridiculed. People would probably listen, a bit more than they used to. I think the fact that the conversation is so ongoing and flowing, people are more likely to actually want to take part in it, whether or not they've had experience with mental health, even if it's just to like learn more about it. So I think while we're not at the point where I think we can help as many people as possible, it's definitely getting there. It's on its way.
So do you think that social media has had quite a big impact on mental health?
Absolutely, yeah. I think going back to what Caroline said about expectations of the workplace, social media has a massive impact on people's expectations of life. I think it leads to people being perhaps feeling a little bit entitled about, you see all these people and they have things at the grasp of their fingers, like just there. People are getting paid for posting pretty photos, and it can make you look at that one snapshot of somebody's life and make you feel worse about your own life. And I think that's something that's really difficult to tackle in social media, because a lot of people think that it's such a terrible thing, but it can actually, as we've seen with campaigns like Time to Change, it can be used and harnessed in a really, really positive way. So I think it has effects on both sides, definitely.
Okay, so social media is one aspect. Going to you, Caroline.
Yeah.
Why else do you think there are so many mental health problems for young people, and why are they on the rise?
For me, Luke, it's very much about the fact that young people are in a world today where there are so many challenges and changes in terms of the political arena, economic, and also the environment as well. And young people are thrown into that kind of environment where they have insecurity and fear about their future and about their place in the world. So I think it's a combination of all of those things, where young people are really just trying to understand what kind of world they live in, what kind of life they have, what kind of future they have, and they're dealing with all the different factors involved, which come from their childhood that impact them, but also, you know, being in the world today and just trying to get ahead. And I think this all has an impact on their mental health.
Vanessa, now a lot of us know that mental health can take us to some dark places, and you're totally not alone. I know that for a fact. Can you tell me about the time when you were struggling and how you overcame it?
I think focusing on like self-awareness has really helped me. You know, a lot of the time when you're, even if you're just sad or if you're depressed or anxious, you put all of your kind of negativity out onto people. It's like, oh God, you know, that person looked at me funny on the subway and now I feel really rubbish. I think for me, looking inside myself and seeing that the way I react to things, the way I react to things that happen in my life is completely down to me, and controlling that reaction, I suppose, can actually have an impact on the quality of my life. So instead of, you know, getting mad at somebody giving me a funny look because maybe, I don't know, maybe they dropped their phone and they're just really angry and it's not actually directed at me. So kind of evaluating the way I react to certain things has really, really helped me, especially to be a bit more positive in terms of life. Yeah.
Good answer. And how about you, Caroline?
Yeah, probably about 20 years ago, Luke, I was at a really low point and I was quite depressed, similar to the things that Vanessa was talking about. So, you know, I was feeling very anxious, very negative thinking, very self-critical, and really quite lost. And that was a time where I really struggled to find any meaning in my life. And I've always had that. And when you lose that, it can be really frightening. And I found that going into therapy really helped. I really needed to talk about what was going on. And what helped me was similar to the things that Vanessa was saying, which is about understanding the circumstances and the thinking and the reactions that got me there, because I wasn't aware of what was going on. And it's only in hindsight that I understand what got me to the place where I was. And in order to prevent yourself going there, it's really important to look at the type of behaviour that you have. So I look at the warning signs, I look at the triggers, the things that really upset me, and I make sure that I react to them early on. Often people, when they go through a really difficult situation and they're through it, they think, wow, I'm through it, I'm not going to go there again. And they actually don't take preventative measures. And for me, what I really needed to do was really pinpoint very early on and to make sure that my life was more balanced and employ lots of things that took care of my own well-being. So it's not just about your mental well-being. It's so important for me, I found, to look at your physical well-being and your nutritional health. Lots of people think, oh, if I just take a rest and I go on holiday, everything's fine. I used to do that. I thought, why am I still feeling really crap? But actually, it was because I wasn't exercising. So I started exercising, and then I thought, oh, I'm still feeling not too good. I feel a bit better because I was eating rubbish. So it was about finding that balance and having a holistic look at the way that you live your life, and also cutting out, I don't know, Vanessa, whether you found that, but actually spending time with positive people that give you really positive energy and that pull you up,
yeah.
And avoiding or cutting out people who are quite negative and drain you. I don't know whether it was like
yeah,
that for you.
Absolutely. I mean, quite recently, actually, to risk sounding a bit negative, there is somebody who's left my life. We just kind of grew apart. But and ever since she's left my life, I've sort of noticed it's as horrible as it sounds, it's kind of like I've cut a drain out of my life. Like, I'm not wasting energy trying to make sure she's happy, or even just absorbing that negativity. Because I think people don't realise that even if you're with somebody who's just, you know, they just feel negative about life, or somebody comes down and they'll say, doesn't this outfit look terrible on me? You know, even just a negative flipped question like that, you absorb that negativity and you carry that around with you. So I definitely think checking who you're surrounding yourself with is very important.
Yeah.
Vanessa, I'm already learning from you, because as soon as we leave the studio, I'm going to get on Facebook and I'm going to do a massive cull. So none of my friends are safe. The dead weight is going to be gone. But anyway, going back, so our listeners, and there's a lot of them, so they've all had particular worries. I mean, it could be going into a big presentation, sitting an exam, waiting for the results of something. Are there any techniques that you can use to reframe it or repackage the problem, I suppose?
A good one that I find, Luke, is self-talk. So that's really about putting a positive perspective on it. So if you're going to an exam and you're panicking and saying, oh, have I prepared enough? Or, you know, this is going to be a complete disaster. To reframe it and tell yourself, actually, no, you're telling yourself nonsense. You know that you've done as hard as you possibly can. You're going to give your best. And if it doesn't go right, it's not the end of the world. That you're going to be all right eventually, because you're going to give your best, and it's about you giving your best and not about what's on a piece of paper. So if you can reframe it and talk to yourself in a positive way and put it in perspective, that can really help.
Vanessa, have you had to reframe a problem before?
Oh, so many times.
How did you do it?
I think perspective is key, as Caroline said, yeah. Problems can always seem so much bigger than they are when you're up close to them. So for instance, like my GCSE exams, I can remember queuing up, waiting to go inside, and I was just like sweating, felt horrible. And now I look back, and I mean, you can lie, well, you shouldn't, but you can lie about your GCSEs and nobody even notices. Do you know what I mean? It's not.
I've been doing it for years. How do you think I'm here? Okay, Vanessa, do you think it's easier now to admit when you're not okay as it was for, say, our parents' generation? And mine are pretty old. So a lot has changed, we know that. But yeah. Do you think it's easier now? Is that a fair comment?
Yeah, definitely easier. I think there are different challenges nowadays, but it's definitely easier. Yeah.
What do you think some of the biggest challenges are? I mean, we mentioned social media, and that's going to keep coming up, isn't it? It is such a big thing.
Absolutely. I think in terms of actual companies, the culture is probably something that I see needs to change. Again, going back to how I put my happiness and my health first, I do that because the culture isn't right at the moment for mental health. So a lot of places talk a lot about perception. So if you're seen to be working hard, then you're left alone. Whereas if you're seen to be, even if you're getting your work done, if you're seen to be somebody who's loud, messing around, you'll get pulled aside a lot more, regardless of how good your work is or how much work you've done. And I think that's the same with mental health. There's a lot of ideas that if you look fine, or if you're getting on with your work and you're leaving the office at 5 every day, coming in at 9, everything's fine. You might not, you know, people perceive you to be okay, but you might actually not be okay. So I think there is a whole culture around perception that companies need to change, definitely.
Okay, so this leads me very conveniently onto this next question, and it's for both of you. How would you advise people at the beginning of their careers to approach the subject of mental health with their managers and colleagues in the workplace?
Mm-hmm. I think in terms of anyone wanting to talk to their manager about a mental health issue, they need to be very clear that perhaps they would like to talk in a confidential and private setting about something that's quite personal, and they need to decide how much they want to tell that person. You don't have to divulge your whole mental health history if you don't want to, but to give your manager an idea of what's going on would be important. So someone can say, I'm having some emotional problems at the moment, and I just like to let you know that. Or they can say, I've been diagnosed with depression and I'm on antidepressants and I'm seeing a therapist. They can decide how much they tell. That's really, really up to them. And then to ask the manager what they need to support them, what would be helpful. And then after that, letting the manager know that they're being proactive in actually dealing with their mental health, and that they appreciate the support that their manager is offering them, and make sure that they keep in touch and they have an update about what's going on, so that they feel that they've made that connection, and that that's not something that's going to be left, but that's something that's going to be followed through on.
Yeah. Vanessa, have you ever had that before? Have you ever breached the subject with a boss?
Yes.
Did it help?
Yeah, I've mentioned it to almost every boss I've had, just because I think if something happens and I do have to take a week off, the fact that I've let them know makes me feel better in myself. I think it's always a good idea to tell your manager like what's going on and stuff. Obviously only as much as you're comfortable with. But I think it's also really good to keep in mind that the person you're talking to might not have as much experience with mental health. So just to also be a bit cautious of, you know, not expecting the most from them, you know, because they might not know how to react to it. They might have to go to somebody else and talk to them about it before they can talk to you. So I think kind of managing your own expectations there as well is really key.
So is there anything you know now about mental health that you wish you'd known when you were struggling? There's a lot.
Yeah, I've learned so much over the past years. The main one would probably actually be more of a practical one. I didn't know about the side effects of when you come off medication for mental health, which can be worse than the actual, if you're suffering with depression, when you come off your antidepressants, you might actually end up feeling worse, which I didn't know, and I wish I had known before I took myself off them. But, you know, I think talking to your doctor about like the options that are available, and also side effects and what's going to happen after, I think that's a lot of people kind of, they'll go on medication and they'll think, oh, right, and they don't think about after.
Yeah.
And then halfway through, they might be like, oh, my God, I don't want to be on these for the rest of my life, and then panic. So I think having a after plan is really, really key as well. And I wish I'd thought of that beforehand.
So there's a TED Talk by Emily Aries called The Power of No, and she discusses the nature of burnout, so something particularly prevalent among business women. Now, do you think there's a correlation between putting yourself first, learning to say no, and well-being?
It's really important to be able to set your boundaries and to know when too much is too much, and to make sure that you have a really good balance of things. And when you're feeling overwhelmed, to be able to say no. And often women feel, or just people in general feel, that they're failing, or they're not good enough, or they can't cope, are they going to be judged? And so they push themselves to present something that isn't real. And so being able to say no, to not judge themselves and to keep their boundaries, is so important in maintaining a good level of mental health.
Vanessa, have you experienced burnout before?
Yes, I think I experience burnout like twice a year.
No, how do you deal with it?
I think, again, like saying no to things is definitely, I tend to kind of put a lot of pressure on myself to make sure I'm always busy. I try and keep doing as many things as I can. And I think every now and again, looking at your calendar and assessing, you know, whether you are putting yourself first, which is really important, is a good idea, just because you will eventually burn out. And, you know, there have been times where I've just been sat at my desk and I'm just crying for no reason. And people look at you a bit odd when you do that. So I think taking preventative measures to make sure that you don't hit a point where you feel like you're just breaking down for no reason is really good. And the power of no is probably one of the most important things that somebody can learn at the beginning of their career.
Thanks so much for being so honest.
That's all right.
All right, this is a question to both of you, and I think this is really, really helpful. So outside of work, do you do anything to help you relax or even tackle a particular anxiety or fear? For example, I know someone who was really afraid of speaking in public, and I think that's pretty common. So he started a course in stand-up comedy, and that was his hobby, and he said that it helped enormously. Is there anything that you have both done?
I actually trained in mindfulness and it's transformed my life. It really has. So I practice the mindfulness meditation and breathing and walking a lot. And that really helps me to stay grounded and centered. And when I'm in a panic or nervous or feeling anxious about something, then I will do a meditation, which is amazing. It just takes me to a very centered, calm place.
And for people listening, how can they find information out about that? Where did you start?
Well, I looked online and there are lots of courses that you can do online or you can do face to face. And there's the 8-week mindfulness based stress reduction courses, which are the best courses to do, which you can do online or face to face. And it is, I have to say, Luke, it is a powerful tool in coping with any type of anxiety or depression or keeping your mental health in check.
Brilliant. Vanessa, is there anything that you do?
Mindfulness again, and I'm only repeating it because, as you say, it's a really, really powerful tool. There's an app called Headspace, which I think you get like a few free sessions on it, and you literally just plug in your headphones, 10 minutes, close your eyes, and it talks you through all the steps of kind of focusing on what's around you. And you know, there's techniques like I don't know if either of you have heard of conscious walking, which is where when you're walking you're not thinking about anything but the feeling of walking, and you can kind of focus on every step, feel your body weight go into the floor, and even just drawing it down to those really basic, I think it's pulling it back to the very basic points of living. Like if you're focusing on your existence and only your existence rather than people around you, it's really calming in a way to kind of escape everything else and just remember where you are and who you are. And yeah, it can be really, really useful. So, and I definitely recommend Headspace, the app.
Headspace, yeah, because I've got a meditation app, but yours sounds one step
it's really, really good. Yeah,
Headspace. Right, ladies, I've got to say, it's an honour to have you here because I am no mental health expert, so thank you so much. But I have done some research and I found out about a technique called the Worry Warrior, and I just want to try it with you two. The way it works, I'm going to give each of you a scenario and the anxiety it could cause, and then you help us to reframe it as a positive or an opportunity. Okay, are you ready? Scenario one. I just know I'm going to fail this exam.
I've worked as hard as I possibly can in this exam. I'm going to give it my best, so that's all I can do. And I'm going to just hope that it works.
Once this exam's over, I'm going to get an ice cream.
Something to look forward to. Okay, second scenario. I bet no one will ask my opinion in the meeting.
I'll make sure I'll speak up because I have good ideas and people should hear my opinion.
Too right.
This is going to be a great chance to show all the hard work and research that I've done and make a great impression.
I'm sure I'm going to forget my words during the presentation.
I'm going to try and be as authentic as possible, and no one's perfect. Everybody makes mistakes, and I'm going to give it my best.
I remember that I'm presenting to colleagues and they're not going to judge me if I forget my words. And they might even have a giggle over it. So.
Oh, I wish you were my boss. Okay, next scenario. What if I get the figures wrong in front of my boss?
If I get the figures wrong in front of my boss, then I will correct myself and say sorry.
I'm only human. If I get the figures wrong, I'll just check them and make corrections.
There is no right or wrong answer, by the way. This is just...
I feel like I'm terrible at this.
No, you're brilliant. I'm learning from you both. All right, last one. What if I stay late and try my very best, but I still get it wrong?
I'm actually staying really late, giving all of my time and energy in this. I've given it 150%. It's going to have to be great.
if I stay this late and I get it wrong, then I've probably burnt myself out and just need to stop putting so much pressure on myself.
So go on, let's have one piece of advice from each of you, a practical tip for people that are at the beginning of their career.
That's a difficult one. I think probably the best tip that I could give someone starting out in their career is to not give in to other people's expectations. It's so important that they feel that they can make their own choices in life and that they can create a life that is meaningful for them and that they can really commit to and feel passionate about, and that they can be themselves and not live up to other people's expectations or try to be someone else, but be themselves.
How about yourself, Vanessa?
I think looking after yourself, especially at the beginning of a career, a lot of people might be putting so much time into their work that they might forget to actually put time into themselves. And I think kind of taking a step back, you know, doing your nails, getting your hair done, just a bit of self-love can really go a long way. And going back to self-talking, I know so many people who start of every day, they'll look in the mirror and, you know, say three positive things about themselves or three things that they love about themselves.
Vanessa, Caroline, honestly, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for coming to speak to us today.
Thank you, Luke.
Cheers.
That brings us to the end of this episode. Thanks again to our guests and to QA for making this happen. Remember, you can find all the information that was covered in this episode on the QA website. And please remember to subscribe, share and rate the Future Proof Careers podcast, which you can find on the QA website, Audio Boom, Apple iTunes, Spotify and wherever else you indulge your podcasting needs. Bye-bye!